Welcome to the Beargrass Christian Church podcast. I'm Dee Decker, Director of Communications here at Beargrass. This is part one of a bonus episode in which I speak with Nina Maples, certified Enneagram trainer, spiritual director, and retired minister about the Enneagram. We're currently in a sermon series titled Lost and Found, in which Dr. Bond examines some of the parables found in the Gospel of Luke. In this series, we see how we can find our way home, find joy, gratitude, our priorities, and our faith. As a supplement to the Lost and Found series, we're talking with Nina about how the Enneagram can be used to gain a deeper understanding of ourselves, others, and God. Here now is my conversation with Nina Maples. Okay, we are here with the Reverend Nina Maples. Are you retired, Reverend? Do you still go by Reverend?
No.
Okay. We're here with Nina Maples.
There you go.
Nina, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got kind of enamored with the Enneagram.
Yeah. Well, I first learned about it in seminary about 25, almost 30 years ago, which was unusual and kind of cut my teeth on Richard Rohr, his teaching about it. And then over the years, just kind of dabbled in it a little bit here and there, went to a few classes. And then around 4 years ago, I found classes at the Enneagram Institute where Russ Hudson, who is a co-author of several Enneagram books, was teaching and wanted to go learn from him. So I have been doing a lot of intensive study with it for the last 4 years.
And you're also offering classes here at Beargrass.
Yes.
So you're wrapping up the introduction to the
introduction. And then October the 11th, we'll start the, I called it the intermediate class, where we're doing a lot more application and looking at how we use the Enneagram for spiritual growth and in our everyday lives, how it can impact us and help us to grow.
Okay. So you first heard about the Enneagram 25 years ago.
At least, yeah.
So a lot of folks think that the Enneagram is like this new pop culture sort of Oprah spiritual kind of. Yeah. What is the Enneagram? What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Well, the figure itself of the Enneagram, it's like 2,500 years old. They've traced it back. And people have been using the figure and also working with the typologies, the personality types since the 50s. It has its roots in Christianity, Judaism. The Sufis have used it through the Muslims and then Buddhist tradition. So there's a lot of ancient wisdom that comes through the Enneagram. And then in the 50s, someone named Oscar Ichazo began to pair the diagram with psychology and created the personality types. And that's when it began to be around in the States and other places. And right now it's kind of booming as a... I think it can get confused as just another typology, kind of like the Myers-Briggs or something. Mm-hmm. But that just really dumbs it down. There's so much depth to the Enneagram and opportunity for spiritual and emotional growth. And if people just use it as, I'm a seven, whatever, or I'm a two, and know some of the characteristics of those types, that's the very tip of the iceberg, so to speak.
That's just scratching the surface.
Just scratching the surface of what it's truly made to be.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit just sort of the basics of the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. The Enneagram is broken down. There are nine different numbers that are associated, or nine different types.
Personality types.
Mm-hmm. So each of these personality types have a core need.
They have a basic need and a basic fear. And those needs and fears, basic needs and fears, drive the personality.
Okay. So what's the basic need and fear of a one?
Is to be good. Mm-hmm. And their fear is that they're corrupt. Mm-hmm. They're not good. They're evil. And so the personality forms around doing good things, doing it all correct, so that they can be seen as good. Another name for the one, I like the name reformer much better, mm-hmm. but another name for it is the perfectionist. And you can see how that plays into their need to be good, so they want to do it perfectly.
Okay. And so a two's mm-hmm. basic need
is to be loved and needed. And so their fear is the opposite of that, that they won't be loved and needed. And so they are working hard to ingratiate themselves to people, be the helper that's always there, be indispensable to people. And then people kind of owe them. Mm. And their higher parts, twos, are very authentic in their giving and doing. But in the lower levels of health, it's you know, I'm giving to you so I can get back what I need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And a three? What's their basic need and fear?
The basic need is to be of value and worth. Mm. And their basic fear is that they're not of value or worth in the world. And so they are the achiever, and they've taken on these personality traits that help them to be successful, be of value, be of worth in the world. They're very high achieving. Often you find threes in CEOs and high in business or those
very
sorts of
things. Very driven type personalities.
Very driven. Very driven to be successful. Because if you're successful, then you're worthy. Mm. And if you're worthy, then you're loved.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Fours. Fours are a little complicated, I think.
They can be. The basic desire for a four is to find themselves and have significance.
They're known as the individualist.
They're known as, right, the okay. individualist. And their fear is that they don't have any identity or personal significance in the world. And so fours are very creative people. They're very deep. Emotionally available people. Mm-hmm. So they're always, the question for a four is always, what is missing? Mm-hmm. And they feel, they're always looking for that within themselves and within the world. And so there's always kind of a deep angst within a four to figure out what's missing, how they can be unique, how they can be special so that they can be loved mm-hmm. and accepted. Accepted.
Mm-hmm. So they want to kind of have their own significance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What about fives?
Well, fives are the investigator, mm-hmm. and their basic desire is to be capable and competent.
Mm.
And their basic fear is of being useless and helpless.
So the basic desire and the fear is the exact opposite of the basic
Most
desire.
Most of the time, yes. The time. Well, it's similar. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So they, investigators, fives, want to be capable
and competent.
Okay.
Right. Because they fear being useless or helpless.
Mm.
And so what they do is they crave knowledge. That's why they're called the investigator. They're always looking at things, reading, finding, researching, and knowledge is the way that they use to protect themselves. So if there's a problem or a conflict, they will use knowledge to navigate their way through and out of it.
Very cerebral kind of people.
Very cerebral. They're more withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
They're more quiet in their heads kind of people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about sixes?
Sixes are the loyalist, and their basic desire is to have security and support. And here we go. It's kind of the opposite. The basic fear is of being without support or guidance.
Okay.
So sixes are the loyalists. They're always checking to see what they can trust.
Mm.
What can I trust? And that's where the support and the guidance comes back. So sixes are always questioners. They can be in a meeting and somebody's presenting something and they're troubleshooting all the time. They're looking for what could go wrong.
Yeah.
What is the possibility of that over there? Mm-hmm. So they're always looking ahead, so that they're not surprised and they're not without support and they're not without guidance or knowing what to do mm-hmm. to take care of themselves.
Okay. Sevens.
Sevens are the enthusiasts.
Oh, yes. I know yes. a seven. I'm married
yes,
to one.
Yes, I do too. I'm married to one as well. Yes, the basic desire for the seven is to be satisfied, content, and have their needs met. And their basic fears of being deprived or being in emotional pain. Mm-hmm. So sevens are, the enthusiast is a great name for them. They're fun. They're always looking for new adventures or new experiences. They like to try different things. They're reading five books at one time, perhaps, or they, my husband never drives the same way anywhere. He's always looking for a new route or a new way. Mm-hmm. But they do things in order to avoid pain. They can stand the pain for a little bit, emotional pain, but then they've got to distract themselves away from that pain. So they're off doing something else or exploring something else.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So an eight, the challenger.
The eight is the challenger. Yes. And their basic desire is to protect themselves and be in control of their own life and destiny. And their basic fear is of being harmed or being controlled by others. Mm. And so you can see that if they're fearful of being harmed or controlled, they're going to present a very strong image. Mm-hmm. They deal with, they're very intense people. They're about action. Let's move it. Let's get it done.
Okay.
Let's, you know, here's a project. Okay, let's do it. Let's get going. They are kind of the champion for underdogs. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to be hurt or found being weak. They also don't want others.
This is an eight, right?
This is an eight. And
this
so
eight.
They are.
Okay. They're the champions for the underdogs.
Absolutely. They
okay.
are.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then the last number is the nine.
The peacemaker.
Okay.
The peacemaker. And their basic desires for inner stability and peace of mind. And their basic fear is of loss and separation from others. So the peacemaker, they are gentle and kind. They're able to see both sides of a problem. Mm. They don't like conflict, either internally or externally. So they're working to not have their peace disturbed.
Okay. We've gone through all of them, their core needs, their desires. Mm-hmm. So how can knowing this about ourselves mm-hmm. bring us into a better understanding of who we are? Mm-hmm. What role does the Enneagram play in yeah. that? I mean, it's one thing for me to know, oh, I'm a one. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, I'm super critical and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Be aware of it. But how
does it help me?
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say, first of all, is that you are not a number. I am not a one.
Oh, okay.
I identify with the characteristics of a one.
Oh.
No one is their number.
What?
Yes. They have characteristics of that number, but I don't want to be put in a box. And I love what Russ Hudson says. He says, the Enneagram is not about putting us in a box. It's about showing us the box that we're already in and how to get out of it.
So this is where we talk about integration.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's about your, what, you know, you ask about motivations and things like that.
Right.
Well, we can't change anything we don't see. If you don't see these characteristics in yourself, you certainly can't change them. And so part of knowing your type is to know your tendency towards these characteristics. Not everyone has all of those characteristics of the type, but, you know, I think we'll find that we have a good portion of them.
Yeah.
Yes. And like you said, there's other ways that we integrate and disintegrate that pick up other numbers. And ultimately, the goal is for us to embrace all the qualities of all the types as we move closer to wholeness within ourselves, that we pick up the virtues and the good qualities of the other types. And so I think to be able to notice what we're doing in the world, because so many times what happens is we are on autopilot.
Yeah.
We're just cruising along doing the same things we always do with the same responses we always have. And when we do that, it causes suffering for us.
Mm-hmm. And well, and oftentimes those around us.
Absolutely. Those around us. And so when we begin to see, when we begin to catch ourselves in the act, it's like, oh, there that is. Then we can begin to say we have greater freedom to make a choice. So then we can say, all right, I'm going to pause a minute. I'm going to decide, rather than just react in the same old way I always do, I have this moment where I can make a conscious choice not to engage that and do it differently. And to me, that's where the Enneagram is a spiritual tool, is that it helps me to be more Christ-like. I cannot choose. Like, here's an example. The class I've been teaching here in Beargrass, the first night I had to go pick somebody up to bring them to the class. I gave myself an hour. They don't live very far from here. I gave myself an hour to get back. I'd already set up. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
The traffic light was out by the mall.
Oh, my goodness. They're on Shelbyville Road?
Yes.
Oh.
And so traffic was backed up for miles.
Sure. Oh,
my Lord. And I got stuck in that coming back. Got closer and closer and closer to time for the class to start. And it's just like, I'm not going to get there on time.
Oh, I would be freaking out.
Well, normally what I do is my stomach would start to hurt and I'm getting angry that the traffic won't move. What's wrong with these people? And I'm just going, oh, God, what will people think? And I'm starting class late. And why are we going to manage this? And I just had to chuckle and say, okay, you're going to get a chance to practice what you preach.
There we go.
And so I was able to stay present to myself, not go off in my patterns, my habits, the way my personality, my type one, would respond normally. Go back to the essence of me, where God is. The virtue for a one is serenity.
Really?
Yes.
So whenever you're living your full essence of yourself, you live in serenity.
Yes. And so I was able to keep myself calm, not engage my behaviors that I normally would. I was 15 minutes late to class.
Well, that's not bad, really.
Well, I mean, right. But, you know, for the first class, you don't want to start late. But I was able to walk in and sit down and be fully present.
Wow.
And that's the beauty of the Enneagram. It teaches us about how to be present. Present in the moment. Present to ourselves. Present to the working of spirit. Present to the guidance of God. And if we're not present, if we're off functioning in our personality patterns and our ego structure and all that stuff, we do not have the freedom to make a choice about how we want to be in the world. And so for me, that incident caused me less suffering. I could make a choice. I could be the way I wanted to be the way God would want me to be, mm-hmm. rather than being this crazy person that I could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get all riled up.
Exactly. So that then I could go in and be fully present to the people that I was teaching and hear them and not still be playing that old tape in my head. Oh, gosh, that was so stupid. You were late. Why did you do that? Because ones have a big inner critic.
Right, we do.
Yes. And so that wasn't present.
It took you 25 years to get there.
I think in my training with Russ Hudson in the last 4 years, I've taken, you know, part of, I'm in the certification track and just finished all that. Mm-hmm. And there's five really intensive classes that you take. And every class we work on presence, being present in our body, being present to our heart so our heart can open and can receive love and share love, and then being present to our head, which is usually full of chatter. But if we can then engage quiet mind, and in quiet mind, that's where inspiration comes.
That's where clarity comes.
Clarity. That's where the spirit speaks. Mm. And so one of the layers of the cake of the Enneagram is what they call the centers. And each type is in a particular center around the body, the instinctual center, or the feeling center, the heart center, or the thinking center, the head center. And so part of being fully present is being connected to all those pieces. Mm-hmm. And part of learning presence is to be fully in our bodies. Our bodies are the only things that are here and now.
Right.
They're not in the past. They're not in the present. They're here. And so I practice during the day, you know, just checking in with myself. Am I present?
We certainly covered a lot of ground in this first of our two-part episodes about the Enneagram. Next week, Nina discusses how the Enneagram can help us find our way to God. You're not going to want to miss this conversation. If you want to read more about the nine types, or would like to take a type indicator test, or maybe find some additional resources about the Enneagram, you can visit the Enneagram Institute at www.enneagraminstitute.com. That's ENNEAGRAM Institute.com. Nina will be offering an intermediate class on the Enneagram, continuing the journey here at Beargrass beginning October 14th. You can register for that class by visiting her website at www.enneagraminthebluegrass.com. That's www.enneagraminthebluegrass.com. She will also be offering the beginner level class, Discovering the Enneagram, in January, also here at Beargrass. As always, we would love to see you around the table at one of our weekend worship services, Saturday at 5:30 in the chapel, or Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. in the sanctuary. You can find out more about the life of our community by visiting our website at beargrass.org. Thanks for listening, and until next time, peace.